through the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week, we sit down with Earl Hall, the CEO of Axis AI, a company deeply ingrained in the blockchain and artificial intelligence, and the challenges in those fields upcoming for the gaming industry. The GGP Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. With technology advancing so rapidly in all industries, Earl Hall has been at the forefront in many gaming applications, including slots and table games. Hall's newest venture, Axis AI, focuses on blockchain and artificial intelligence, both of which have tremendous potential in the gaming industry. From a marketing perspective, operators can anticipate the needs of their guests and provide a level of customer service never before imagined. From a harm minimization angle, operators will be able to head off any serious problems because AI and blockchains will set off alarms way before even the customer is aware of any problem. But there are hurdles to overcome before any of that can be accomplished. Paul spoke with me at his offices in Las Vegas in March. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's great to see you. Congratulations on you've just recently been named chairman of the International Gaming Standards Association.
The vice chairman position came up, mm-hmm. and I was really surprised and grateful that it was me.
Great. Well, it's nice to hear. I've been friends with Peter DeRate for many years and followed the organization, very important organization in the industry. They've done some great things to really push technology forward. So what did it mean to you to be able to take over this organization?
Well, first of all, and it's funny because we were just talking about something else before we came on the podcast, but I am really scared right now. Mm. We're heading into a quantum world. Quantum computers are not theory anymore. Right. You can buy one for $35,000.
Right.
Which means I can pop in and out of a network. Mm-hmm. I can put a spider or a crawler on top of a point-of-sale device, and I can get out and nobody can ever see me.
Right.
So when I look at our members, who are the cream of the cream of our industry,
sure, absolutely,
which are hardware and software companies, mm-hmm. well, we're going into a phase of technology now that is, in my opinion, the scariest we've ever been, because we're the most decentralized. There's the most amount of laptops running around, smartphones.
Sure, yeah.
The ways of being intrusive inside of a network now are infinite. Mm-hmm. So if we do not lead our members towards blockchain technology, mm-hmm. to create the highest level of security we have, and then bring in some kind of standard for ethical AI, I'm really scared what the operators are going to go through in the next 3 to 5 years with everything that's out there in the real world right
now. Sure, sure.
So that's the reason I think I'm there. It's to bring in the blockchain and the AI piece, for the very simple is that that has to be the pavement upon which we build the next level of standards with our regulators and operators around the world.
Okay, great. So I went to a GSI conference a couple of years ago in Reno on the blockchain issue, and I came out of it a little more disturbed than I went in, believe it or not, because I didn't know much about it, and I still don't know that much about it. But there seemed to be a general opinion that blockchain was just as hackable as any other technology. Was that incorrect? An incorrect assumption I took there?
I'm not going to give you absolutes, but I'm going to say that a proper blockchain technology, like mm-hmm. a Microsoft or an IBM technology, mm-hmm. is much more secure than any network technology we have out there today.
Okay.
For the very simple reason is, in today's world, we're using regular servers inside of regular cold rooms. We're pumping out firmware and software onto servers inside of companies that have just normal security. Mm-hmm. What blockchain does, and I'm not talking about Bitcoin, I am so not a fan of Bitcoin, and I'm very clear on that one. But what normal IBM or Microsoft technology does is it inserts passwords inside of every single transaction. Mm-hmm. And those passwords have to match up in some sort or fashion to be able to make a change inside of the information that's been stored. Mm-hmm. That's all really blockchain is supposed to be. When we talk about decentralization, I get really scared. When you talk about public blockchains, I say, no, never, not in my lifetime.
That's, I think, what they were referring to.
Yeah. Well, when you say public to me, I run away.
Yeah.
Why? Because I cannot control where the information is sitting in the network. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why you see banks now. Banks are already operating largely on some form of blockchain, but it's all privately owned databases inside of privately owned data centers. Like Switch right now is hosting all kinds of private nodes for blockchain.
Okay.
But blockchain is new to the public. Right. Let's say it's a 3 to 5 year technology. There's no real credible technology that ever makes it to mainstream before 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. Right now we're in the phase where everybody lost their money.
Right.
Everybody's scratching their heads, mm-hmm. but the core technology is still moving along. Mm-hmm. What I do in as a day job, we've been blockchain for several years.
Right.
Why? Because we don't want anybody to mess with the general ledger of our information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blockchain is confusing because 80% of people that try to explain it don't know what they're doing.
Sure, right.
And that's normal because it's new.
Right.
Remember internet in 1997, everybody was an internet consultant and not many people knew how to log on.
Right.
That's where we are. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why me personally, I'm not pushing our members towards blockchain yet. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is just creating alliances. Mm-hmm. Like the regulators are starting to look at blockchain because they're starting to say, hey, maybe if I share my information with that jurisdiction, we can bring down our cost and protect players in two jurisdictions instead of one. But there'll be one of the three actors, either the operators, the regulators, or the suppliers. One of the three will start to make the move, mm-hmm. like the country of Poland already has.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, at this conference, there was a lot of discussion about how regulators are not comfortable with that yet. Is that just because they don't understand it?
That was because it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was 2 years
ago. Last year in the International Regulators Conference in Jamaica, I was thrown back by the level of education of the regulators in Australia, some of the African regulators, and especially three or four in Europe. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at the International Regulators Conference in Boston this year coming up in September, and the wave of regulators going in with blockchain knowledge would blow your mind.
Yeah, that's great.
Why? Because they see that blockchain is more risk aversive than the current way they're doing things right now.
Okay. One of the things I like about blockchain and the way regulators will view it is that they can actually see all the data. It's all going to be there. And how can they access that, though? I mean, as you said, it has to be kind of a private network, I guess. But how do regulators get into that?
So the easiest way to explain what blockchain is Dropbox.
Yeah. Okay.
Dropbox could be a blockchain technology right now and you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
But let's say that I'm jurisdiction one and you're jurisdiction two. Well, I have my logons to see my information anyway.
Sure.
The only thing that blockchain is doing, it's creating a direct link between the applicant, whether it be a company, an officer, or a technician or whatever. Because one of the things one of the regulators asked me 2 years ago is, what is the biggest advantage of blockchain? And I said, well, the applicant becomes responsible for their updates. So they can write everything in on one side of the interface, and on the other side, the regulator sees it in real time.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's about sharing technology. Maybe the driver's license, instead of it coming from the applicant, it comes directly from the DMV, so that all of the information is linked together.
Okay.
That's not Big Brother stuff. It already exists on the 700-page form, to exaggerate.
Absolutely. I'm not exaggerating when you're in New Jersey.
I wasn't going to say it.
I've been through several investigations in New Jersey. So especially early on when I was just a dealer, I had a 600-page. It's crazy.
But what
blockchain could alleviate that, right?
It gives a common interface, just like Dropbox. Right. So let's say that you and I have to share a document in Dropbox. Mm-hmm. We'll both see it.
Right.
Or for people in the Google world that use Google Docs or Google Sheets, mm-hmm. it's the same principle of permissions and views.
Right.
And that's what a smart contract is, by the way. All it is a broker.
Sure.
It's an app on a phone that's a broker between both sides of the chain and makes sure that nobody's allowed to lie, cheat, or steal.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. So this could actually, you can actually, I know there's been a lot of moves to have a database that all regulators can access where you have, you know, the minimum standards that, or the minimum information that, that an applicant has to put in, and then any regulation, any regulator could add other layers of standards. But this could actually develop that type of database that they could all come in and see, oh, this is my standard, so you don't have to go and fill out that same form for every single jurisdiction.
That's 100% what you just said there is so precise, because what it would be is what blockchain is kind of like a layered database.
Right.
Nevada would have theirs, New Jersey would have theirs, but there's a common layer that would be available to all those who participate, including, if you want to take it to the extreme, even to the applicant.
Right.
The applicant applies to New Jersey, and he gets a pop-up in his screen, and it says, would you like to port over all of your data that's already been verified from Nevada? Mm-hmm. You click on yes, it all goes in. But now as the applicant, when I update my driver's license, I'm updating it maybe in 30 jurisdictions with one click.
Right, yeah.
That's what blockchain does.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the applications that might work, you know, in a casino. Obviously, player data is crucial to the operation of a casino, especially when you have these large casino companies with multiple properties and the player goes between several properties. So would that be a completely closed network then, that each property could be able to view the player data?
Well, If we take it to that level, I'm going to stay away from the marketing aspect of it, because I think marketing is something, at least in the short term, the next 5 to 10 years, that people will not want to share.
Right.
But let's go to the dark side of the industry for a second, because it's already being reflected upon and acted upon in some places in Europe. We have three big things going on right now on a worldwide level. Number one, and the most important, is responsible gaming.
Right.
Number two, anti-money laundering. And number three, data privacy. Mm-hmm. We have what's going on in Europe and what's going on in California. But if we look at those three things, and let's take the extreme right now. In Japan, they're getting ready to look at integrated resorts. And one of their number one focuses is how much are we going to fine a property if they mess up responsible gaming? Mm-hmm. So if you take it from that extreme point of view, I think if I was in a jurisdiction, I'd like to have a general app that was available to every operator, where when the player came into that property, the near field sensor detected that we were there, and the player would have to check in on a responsible gaming app and say, I'm here, and here are all my self-declarations.
Right.
Same thing with money laundering.
Sure, right.
Poland has taken that to an extreme.
Really?
Poland has...
Explain what Poland has done.
Poland has a global blockchain database over the entire country running in nanoseconds of delay, which means for a player that would insert their card somewhere, you would not be able to insert one card cloned in two different cities.
Okay.
It would detect it in way under a second. So they've integrated a blockchain. It's Microsoft technology. They've integrated over that real-time responsible gaming with self-declarations of time, amount, and...
Right.
And as soon as you hit one of the parameters, you're automatically blacklisted until the timer runs out.
Right.
And the same thing, they have AI algorithms actually running over the database, checking for anti-money laundering according to the... It's not a law, it's more of a policy that they have, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I think the responsible gaming aspect of how this could be used is really important, because you don't know the level of finances of a player when he comes in, but you know, when they start playing, you see their pattern of play, and then suddenly if their pattern of play changes and it looks a little more risky, then you might be able to approach them.
Now you're talking about my day job.
Right, okay.
What I do in a normal day is look at literally billions of pieces of data. Mm-hmm. One of the craziest things that I found in our data that I have at Access, because we collect data from almost 50 countries right now, is that there's a very clear pattern, and you're going to hear the word cortisol from me again.
Okay.
When you're sitting down having an entertainment experience, you're either living on oxytocin and you're all zenned out and you're just there for the fun of it, or you're on an adrenaline response because you're excited because it's going ding, ding, ding.
Right.
All that stuff is really cool. But once you start to go into a cortisol response, into a fight and flight response, it means that what's happening in the real world is not meeting your expectations. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You're going to compensate for it like an animal would do in the woods. They're either going to fight to survive or they're going to run to survive. So inside of our database, there's a pattern that we found in every single country. Speed of click, change of betting pattern, and then change of machine. So there's right now we've got altogether 7 parameters inside of an AI algorithm.
Yeah.
And I don't care who the name of the player is.
Sure.
I just want to see the pattern. Why? Because I can shut off the machine in real time.
Right, yeah.
Literally shut the machine off, put it in the maintenance mode if I need to. So we have one of our really, really cool clients that loves to experiment with technology in the world. So we were running these algorithms over the database, and this poor old lady, she was about 60, 65 years old, she went way out of her betting pattern. Changed the denomination. Changed the speed of click, and everything went out of whack. We just shut her off.
Yeah.
And the casino manager went over and talked to her, and she was crying. She said, I just spent my last $20 of my paycheck. So that's what data is there for. And in the responsible gaming world, I know our operators are starting to get so savvy that they know that the irresponsible gaming player is costing them all the money that the responsible gaming player could be making for them.
Right, yep.
And if we want to use artificial intelligence to create crazy good marketing, to make you know that you need to bet before you bet.
Right.
But to give you an insurance policy that if you start to go nuts, the machine, the airbag is going to come out, just like in a car.
Okay.
You make a mistake in a car, it's easy. 6 airbags come out, 8 airbags. We need the airbags to come out on the slot machine.
Right.
iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast.
So I went to a artificial intelligence conference here at UNLV in January, and it was really opened my eyes to a lot of the things that you could do. You mentioned all the marketing things you could do, but the fact that artificial intelligence can recognize the player even through the facial recognition, so you don't even have to have a card in there. They can tell who you are just by sitting at the machine. Is that something that's a little space age right now?
No, not at all. I'll be very honest. I built a project to do that in 1999 in Heathrow Airport. It was a military project for detecting. The face has 74 individual mathematical points you can calculate. And right now, in open source software on the internet, you can download any app to do facial recognition. Then it becomes just a decision what you're going to do with it. What we're doing in our laboratory with facial recognition is not detecting the face. It's detecting the movements of the face.
Okay.
Depending on the culture, someone will start to move their tongue, their eyes, start to scratch their nose, pull on their ears. There's cultural movements to show that you're in fight and flight or cortisol. So I can actually detect if someone's stress level goes up or their excitement level goes up.
Right.
Why would I want it for excitement? I would love to be able to detect in real time what play patterns of the real movements of my slot machine are catching on with players and what ones are completely wasting my time programming or...
Right.
On the dark side, as soon as somebody starts to blink their eyes too fast and starts to bite their lip and starts to scratch their nose, I want to lock the machine.
Yeah.
Because I will be able to catch their animal reflex response way before the change in pattern of the machine. Because the person will have somewhere between 5 seconds to 2 minutes to think about, am I going to walk away from the machine? Am I going to have that extra drink?
Right.
What am I going to do before they slip into the dangerous pattern of irresponsible gaming?
Okay. Right.
So where facial recognition has to go is before even the person starts clicking to go, oh, time for a timeout. How would I do a timeout? I wouldn't lock them out of the machine. I'd slow down the clicks.
Right.
I'd bring up on the drink menu, would you like a Coke or a coffee, sir?
Right.
And I would actually start to train the animal brain to act responsibly. Mm-hmm. Just like we teach our kids. You know, when our kids run up to the table and yell at the people at dinner and stuff?
Right.
Takes years to train a kid.
Sure.
But there's a way of doing it.
Yeah.
Just like you used to train our officers in the army, there's a way of doing it. Mm-hmm. There's a way of training the brain to be a responsible gambler.
Okay, great. So, we believe that the next big thing in the industry in terms of now that sports betting is probably going to slide down a little bit here is cashless transactions on the casino floor. And obviously that ties right into this element of responsible gaming too. And regulators are still a little bit sketchy about the cashless transactions. They don't really want to allow that to happen, some of them, but some of them want to see all that data. How's this going to impact the industry as we go forward here?
So what do you think of all my nonverbal movements, my red face, now that you've asked me that question?
Right.
So here's the thing. When you look at Mexico, when you look at South Africa, when you look at Poland, when you look at the markets that have gone 100% carded technology, in other words, 100% player-recognized technology,
right,
that's a big step for a jurisdiction.
Sure.
And it can only be done in an entire jurisdiction at the same time because there are some jurisdictions in Africa where it's optional.
Right.
And you'll see people wanting to go carded technology because they're thinking Players Club.
Right.
But they forget where the source of the money is coming from to play. And I've got to navigate around these words, but it all depends on your player base. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me once, Earl, do you think carded technology will ever exist in Macau? I said, never. It's a cash economy.
Right.
So can you force a cash economy to go cardless? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't have that answer. All I can tell you is that there has to be a jurisdiction in the United States right now, of which I know one, and I'm not going to mention it here, that is very far down the path of this reflection, and maybe the first jurisdiction in the United States. And why? The money you're going to lose will be largely compensated by the players you'll get to know. Mm-hmm. Bob comes in every Friday night. Bob plays $20. How do I get him up to $60 or $100? By learning his play pattern, by learning what makes him happy.
Right.
Maybe it's this machine that he gets an extra 20 minutes of play, and when he goes home, he feels great because he had the best Friday night of the last month.
Right.
When you have the data that I have in my database, and you see a jurisdiction that's running 100% cashless and carded, you see the advantage of being able to completely tailor your marketing programs to the people who matter, and then completely ignoring the people that don't matter anymore.
Right.
And you can only get that when you have, like, I have 8 years of data right now from some jurisdictions, so it's very, very deep. I have the proof that it works, but you need a jurisdiction to go obligatory and right away with strict rules. Because then, from an ethical point of view, responsible gaming and any money laundering, they become a walk in the park.
Sure.
Operators, marketing, you get away from the noise and the fog of knowing, thinking you're knowing what to do. your data is telling you exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So I don't know if it's going to happen. I know there's jurisdictions out there that are already doing it, and there's some that are moving towards it. And once they get past the initial pain, the gain is absolutely amazing from a revenue, a responsibility, and from a tax point of view.
Sure, I can see that, definitely. So tell us about your company. I want to hear, you know, what you're doing and how you're helping the industry.
Well, I fell into this industry by mistake, literally. Okay. I got asked to check some patents a long time ago, and that long discussion ended up to me being in the industry. But before I was in this industry, I was in high tech, I was in data, I was in facial recognition, polygon modeling, centralized cloud databases, and all that stuff. I got approached a little over 8 years ago to start mentoring a company that had a cloud database. They had about 20 customers in it. And when I saw the data, the depth of it, and the fact that they were picking up every single thing that SaaS could offer, I kind of fell in love, because that's what I used to teach at the university for about 10 years. And when I saw the depth, not the breadth, but the depth of data they had, I said, wow, there's at least 10 problems I can fix in this industry with it. There's a dark side of what we do in this industry. There are people that hurt themselves of what we do. So it was something that was always in the back of my mind, that the day that I could find a way of being part of the fix, I was going to give it everything I had.
Right.
So it was a really hard startup to do, because building a centralized blockchain cloud information management system with cashless and all the rest of the bells and whistles that all the systems have, we did it for $30 million, which was a walk in the park compared to other companies. But raising that $30 million nearly killed me.
I have
right now the best shareholders on the planet.
Yeah.
And they've been behind me to build this, because they're in for the long term. And what we're looking to do is offer the good side and the bad side of the industry with quantified data, blockchain data.
Okay.
Why? Because our clients deserve to know where to spend their marketing dollars to get the best bang for the buck. In a responsible gaming world, they should be able to bleed the last dollar out of everybody on a Friday night.
Sure.
Because they know they're not going to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been out to dinner before and bought those desserts that you shouldn't have bought.
Right.
And the cognac at the end or whatever it is. We wake up the next day and all we have is memories.
Yeah.
We have nothing but memories.
Right.
But in the gaming industry, it's the same thing. If you spent that extra $50, $100, $150 and went home an hour later and it was the best night of your month, that's what this industry, the spirit is.
Sure.
We're out there to offer the tools to be able to give that deep information. But at the same time, offer the responsible gaming tools, the money laundering tools, the data privacy tools. The other thing we sent out to do is be another Spotify.
Okay.
What's another Spotify? Another Spotify that's comes out, offers you something so cheap that it's almost free, and that over the course of the 5 or the 10 years revolutionizes the industry like Spotify did.
Sure, right.
Spotify scares the hell out of me. I'll turn it on and I'll say, play to me something I like, and it'll hit my mood.
Yeah.
And it'll hit almost what I'm thinking about. And I'm going, is there a microphone in the car?
Right.
That's what we're setting out to do. We started off with three principles. We want to be Facebook. And there's a whole other podcast I can do about that sometime. We want to be a Facebook to the players and link them to the operators. We want to be a Salesforce, so that the operators don't have to think about anymore, where am I burning my marketing dollars, because they have a precise rate of return.
Right.
And the other thing is, we want to be a Spotify because we're out there to disrupt. The regulators deserve to be protected with data. The operators deserve to be protected with data. And we're in this for the long run.
Right. So do you... like compile the thoughts of the players, the desires of the players when they come in. I mean, yeah, you can certainly find what machines they like to play because, you know, they play, and of course all the data on the machines is easily gathered. But can you tell what kind of restaurants they like, what kind of entertainment they like, what draws them to the casino, that kind of thing as well?
100%.
Yeah.
100%, and I think that's a big part of the future of industry, because I published an article on the International Gaming Regulators Association website, which was a big privilege for me. I was really grateful for the opportunity, where we've got to understand that it's not MGM fighting against Caesars anymore, right, or it's not Crown fighting against somebody else anymore. Right. It's our industry is fighting against Netflix.
Right.
Our industry
sure, right.
is fighting against Disney. Our industry is fighting against True Foods now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to think about the fact that if we don't learn the total wallet, the total behavior of our client, we won't be able to use, like, our technology can be used for a gas card.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually put 15, 20 operators together and they can get together with a gas station and they can use points for gas.
Wow.
Or take gas and use it for casino points.
Mm-hmm.
All that has to be keeping people to come back to the property. I had an amazing chairman in my old company. His name was Mike Talismanic, one of the real old operators.
Right, right.
I mean, when I mean old, I don't mean age.
Yeah.
I mean back in the days
sure.
when you would run for a steak dinner and bring it out to somebody right. because you wanted to make sure they were having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So being one of the old guys, the principles that he instilled in me,
mm-hmm.
they're how I built Access. Why? If we cannot give the operator enough data to create an amazing experience, another niche is going to steal them away. A restaurant chain mm-hmm. is going to steal them away. An online, like a golf game that I play, is going to steal them away.
Sure.
So we're going into a phase in our industry, finally, that other industries are already there, where data is the new gold.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we've been at this night and day for 6 years now. Because the data that I get is not only property specific,
mm-hmm.
it's not only jurisdiction specific, it's global.
Right.
So when I look at a responsible gaming problem, I don't throw it over a jurisdiction. I'll throw the algorithm over the planet.
Yeah.
Then I'll throw it over the jurisdictions, and then I'll throw it over the properties. Like, we have one city in one jurisdiction in our database where the problem gambling is not only off the board, but the patterns are different.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to link it to an industry right now. So we're picking up data on where the players work,
mm-hmm.
where they eat, and all that stuff to see why there's so much of a difference.
Right. Great. Well, I could talk to you forever. There's so many topics on the tip of my tongue, but I don't want to keep you any longer. But we'll do this again. I'd like to. I know, you know, 6 months from now, the stuff we talked about is probably going to be advanced way farther than we are right now. So let's get together certainly in the next year or so and do this again.
It'd be my privilege, and I'm really grateful you had me on. Thank
great,
you so
great.
Much.
It was nice to have you.
Cheers.
Enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about the AI, blockchain, and Bitcoin in the gaming industry, visit GGVMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. And we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.
Перегрузки.